This is the ABC from 3AR Melbourne Regional.
The ABC presents Radio Housewives of Western Australia.
I love my fast jet. I love my fast husband.
Not those kind of housewives.
You're supposed to take the washing out of the machines first, Bev. Even so,
we call this a happy family. Why do we have to have all these kids?
Everybody, just pretend to be normal, okay? Like everything's normal here.
I wonder what Uncle Ed will say.
I'm Susan Mousehart, and this is Radio Housewives of Western Australia, an ear-to-the-ground report on how families really live today. Today's episode, Mum and Mum. I'm looking for people who I'm not using the term unconventional because that almost implies a judgment, you know, just, I don't know, non-conforming or just, you know, a little bit other than nuclear. Yeah, so your family, you're in a same-sex relationship and you've got four kids, including triplets, is that right?
Yes.
I think that would qualify.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Wow. You could really hear me struggling there, couldn't you? Okay, in a sentence, Jodie Cartwright and her partner Jackie Beasley are the parents of a family of four kids to whom each has given birth using sperm from the same anonymous donor. Non-traditional? Definitely. Non-nuclear? Actually, that's a lot less clear-cut. And as far as unconventional goes, no. Which is exactly what makes their story so exotic. But first off, I really think you need to meet Atticus. He's 10, and he's one of Jody and Jackie's triplets. Like his namesake, Atticus is a bit of a Renaissance man. He loves school.
We have a box outside of our classroom and that everyone, like, writes letters to their friends.
And art.
That's so cool. Do you love art?
Yes.
I can tell that.
And Christmas.
I guess what I love about Christmas.
What?
We all get together and also...
And Harry Potter and Lego.
This is my Quidditch set and this is Hagrid's hut with Aragog, the giant spider.
Also feathers and Star Wars and cooking.
Well, I'm really good at cooking, so I thought I might open, like, a breakfast shop.
Oh, and the family pets, of course.
Do you also want to interview our cats?
Totally.
Yay.
Atticus loves roller skating and playing duets on the piano with his sister Gretel. He loves climbing the big mulberry tree in the backyard with his brother Max.
So wait, you planted that?
Oh, no, our mum and mum did. Our mum and mum's friends did.
He also loves the mic. Actually, the feeling is mutual. Do you have any interest in being on the radio when you grow up?
No.
That's too bad. Max, the senior triplet, is maybe more of a bloke's bloke.
So you like cars, huh?
Yeah.
You have a lot of them.
I know. I've got a lot of marbles too.
Are you going to try to put my headphones on again?
Yeah.
Max has been getting into scrapes literally from the day he was born.
Max, put that back. Is he getting sugar out of the jar?
Max and Atticus get along great. They all seem to. Wait a minute. That really is unconventional. Gretel is the third triplet.
Really, really good.
She's shy at first.
Are you named after the famous Gretel in the fairy tale?
No. Gretel from The Sound of Music.
But then I see her on the trampoline and no, she knows no fear.
I was playing Golden Child at school and I slipped on the bitumen.
She's also musical and she reads voraciously. Oh, and in case you were wondering, these three are distinctively different physically, just like their personalities are. You might struggle to pick them for siblings, let alone triplets. Little Evie?
This is Evie.
She's the baby. She's in pre-primary, but she's entirely her own person, too. Shirley Temple, adorable, with big eyes and golden ringlets. Evie is whip smart, and when I ask her if she can write her name,
okay,
she comes back with a novella.
How old are you, honey?
Six.
Wow.
I'm starting with the kids because, well, there are four of them, and their presence permeates pretty much everything, a bit like the aroma of Jody's holiday baking when I come through the door.
Hey, why does it smell so good in here?
I'm baking.
Yeah. What are you making?
Only, well, louder.
Oh, gee. Oh, my gosh.
So, fair warning. In the story you're about to hear, the background noise gets crazy at times. It's Saturday morning. You know, there's a lot going on. Between the dishwasher, the washing machine, the kettle, the Christmas carols, and various timers and alerts. You know, they're the sounds of a big, happy family going about its business. If that doesn't sound particularly newsworthy, that's kind of the point. Jackie and Jody themselves have long since stopped thinking of their family as unusual. But, you know, let's be real. As lesbian parents, they are different to most Australian families. So how do those differences make a difference?
I don't know. I never thought I wouldn't have kids, but I didn't really strongly imagine what it would look like. I did, not so many children though. I'm not a planner. I'm more of a, I'll just float down this river and see where it takes me kind of person. I'm surprisingly happy. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? Some people, it doesn't sound like they really enjoy their family life or their partnership, you know. I think we enjoy each other's company and we have fun, and kids drive us crazy a lot. But, you know, when they're all asleep,
lovely. Jackie and Jody met each other some 15 years ago. Not quite by accident.
It was a setup. I was the unknowing city.
I had some friends that worked at the cemetery, and they thought that we'd be a good match, and so I went along to one of their work dos.
Yeah, you heard that right. They met at a Karakata cemetery work do. Jackie worked there in IT. She still does. Jody works there now, too. There were a few early hiccups.
Yeah, she stood me up.
Well, I stand you up. I rang and said I wasn't coming.
But after a second, more successful date, they really never looked back. They started talking about having kids as an eventual goal. It was Jody's father who urged them on.
And he said, well, you know, what are you waiting for? And I went, well, you know, we need to have a reliable car, we need to. And he went, no, you don't.
I remember reading somewhere that most couples never actually decide to have a child. They decide not to prevent one, yes, but, you know, that's a different matter. And this brings us to perhaps the only truly key difference between same-sex couples and their heterosexual peers.
So we had the conversation, are we going to have kids? If we're going to do it, let's get cracking. We've got to get to the point where we're actually taking some affirmative action and making something happen, because obviously it's never going to happen by accident in this relationship. We both wanted to actually be pregnant. So we went, okay, well, I'm older, I'll go first. One of the things that it was imperative to us was that the law recognised us both as the parents. And it was after the passing of the bill that it did recognise both of us would be on the birth certificate as parents.
That would be the Lesbian and Gay Reform Bill of 2001. It passed into state law in 2002. The bill established a host of important rights for same-sex couples, just at the time Jody and Jackie were thinking about starting a family. But keep in mind that homosexual relationships weren't decriminalised in Western Australia till 1989. Jody was 18 then, Jackie was 20. In WA today, assisted conception, which is the technical term for using donor sperm, well, that's available to all women. It doesn't matter what your sexual orientation or your marital status is.
So, yeah, the donors that were available, we just narrowed it down to the basic features, hair, eye colour, height, that were similar to ourselves.
Blood group. And any...
Family history
of illness. History. Yeah,
they weren't spoiled for choice.
Not at all.
And luckily, we had any choice at all, because it wasn't long after we went through this. Then it was like the ripple effect
influx of people,
lesbians wanting to have babies. So
there were massive wait lists.
Today, nearly a quarter of lesbian partners live in a household that includes kids. Well, even though only 3% of gay male couples do, but obviously biology has a lot to do with that. Atticus, Gretel, Max, and Evie were all conceived using sperm from the same donor. Today, donors are obliged by law to sign on to a registry for possible future contact by their offspring. But 10 years ago, that was just an option.
He was given the option of whether or not he wanted to go on the register, if he wanted to stay in the guidelines of the first legislation.
I should add that while we're discussing all of this over a cool drink, Atticus hovers nearby. He's trying his best to be patient while we discuss the nuances of his paternity. His mind is very much on the Lego. He's dying to show off to me.
Honey, everything's right. Are you? Is he okay with
this?
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm just waiting.
If you're waiting for Lego to happen, darling, you're going to be quite a while. So I suggest you go and play for a bit, and then look at your Lego.
I mean, obviously, they know exactly how they came to be. Lots of books, you know, kids' books, we'd never told them before that the donor, that was definitely a no-go. So that's all I just realised. But I don't think he's paying attention anyway.
Completely over his head. But they know about where babies come from, and that, you know, it's a sperm and an egg, and that for other families it's different, but for our family we needed a donor.
I tell the mums about a donor baby, now a young adult, in our own family, who always referred cheerfully to her sperm daddy.
We just call him the very nice man.
The very nice man that we don't know.
So it's only every second cycle they can do a...
body has a
what's
month
it
off.
Called? Insemination.
Yeah,
sounds terrible, doesn't it? The guy who did the scan said, you know, this is the egg, and these two little shadowy things here, they won't amount to much.
But when mother comes along, she silences the others. She accomplished something that is very rare in mothers. NGM has got a Leo, but mama has got a trio. She is proud and says she is a cow.
And then they said there's three babies, and Jackie just was panic-stricken, and I was hysterically happy, kind of going, this is okay, it's going to be fine, it's going to be lovely, it'll be fine. And then, you know, get dressed and go back in the waiting room to see the doctor, and I turned into, oh, my God, this is really scary, and she was all, it's going to be fine, it's going to be lovely. So
it was just like we were balancing each other out on the seesaw of freaking out.
Yeah.
And it was emotionally draining. You know, your hormones are mental and crazy being pregnant, but being three times as pregnant, you know, I would lie on the couch and watch Oprah and be bawling. She'd be handing over pots and pans to someone. I'd be bawling my eyes out. Jodie would lovingly bring me lovely sandwiches and yogurt, and I would just lie there and go, oh, eat more and more, and then just go... 24 weeks, I don't know what happened. I was just laying on the couch, and then I went...
We said we really need to get around to some sort of baby shower, and so we were talking about making plans for that, and Jackie's waters broke. She was laying on the couch.
As usual. And so we drove directly to King Edward.
And there was a West Coast Eagles game on at the time. Anyway, the traffic was awful. We couldn't get through. I was panicking the whole time. Would you like to continue?
No. Why don't you continue?
Conversation is good, guys.
Yeah, but I've set up the story and then okay. She takes the punchline every time.
I didn't know you were getting to that part.
Every time. 15 years this has been going on. Today's the day it's all going to come out on national radio.
See, I told you they were a normal couple.
They took Jackie away to deliver. We had, a doctor we know very well and, you know, with love now, but stand there and tell us that, you know, different chances of a brain bleed, chances of cerebral palsy, chances of all these things, and we just sat there going, I can't listen to this. This is not, no, I don't want to hear it. They're just... red, I guess, and you know, skin is so not ready. It's the skin's trans, they just look raw and transparent and just ridiculously tiny.
Well, Jackie's mum made them
and my mum made them hats, and they used an apple too as a, you know, template, I guess. Yeah, there were a few times we'd had a phone call to say Max had stopped. It was always Max. Max had stopped breathing, or they had to resuscitate him.
Did they all have transfusions?
They all had a couple of transfusions each.
So how old were they when you took them home?
103 days. So they came home a week before they were due, which, without oxygen, which really is quite miraculous. That just, it's unheard of. We were lucky because, you know, Jackie was off on maternity leave and I was made redundant maybe the week before. So we... that was our new job. And, you know, our family and friends cooked for us. My mum cleaned her house for us.
It wasn't even dirty then.
We were never here.
It sounds like you guys have had awesome support from both of
you. Yeah, we have.
We have.
And as much as honestly petrifying it was a really, it was a good experience in lots of ways. We're both terrible blubberers. Anyway, we had a very strong relationship out of it. We made incredible friends. So, yeah.
It does make you appreciate the people in your life, doesn't it?
Oh, you know, truth be told, I was a bit resentful for a little while because I thought, is that it? Are all the turns taken and I'm not going to get a turn here? And, you know, it was very hard for quite a long time. But then, you know, the kids went to kindy and I went, go on then, let's have another go. And Jackie said, yes, thankfully.
Jodie seemed to really want it, and I didn't. You know, it's those big life decisions that you don't want someone saying you didn't let me do something for the rest of your life. So, once again, I'm floating down the river.
The pregnancy was quite... there wasn't as many opportunities to lay on the couch and have sandwiches brought to you when you've already got triplets. So it wasn't exactly the same joyous experience.
Were you resentful about that?
A little bit.
In case you're wondering, no, I hadn't forgotten about Atticus and the Lego waiting to be admired.
I had a lot of help, but this one I put together myself, all by myself.
It's beautiful.
And as I inspected it, along with the kids' artwork on the walls and their books and music scattered everywhere, hearing the distant giggles from the trampoline, a single thought looped through my head. Tolstoy was wrong.
Tolstoy was wrong.
All happy families are not happy in the same way. I mean, this was a happy family. No question at all. You could feel it. You could smell it. The minute you walk through the door.
It's so normal that you were asking the question. I was thinking, oh, do you mean in terms of the kids of their prematurity? And then I realised, oh, no, you meant the gay thing.
When I dug into the research later, I found a recent review of literature in the Journal of Marriage and Family. Overall, the findings showed that children in so-called traditional families, that is, headed by two married biological parents, those kids have the best outcomes. But, and I quote, an exception to this pattern appears to be children from same-sex families. Well, duh. I mean, in Jackie and Jody's family, the kids are with two biological parents, and they would dearly love to be allowed to get married. More on that in a bit.
Hang on, we don't exactly fit the mould, but we fit our mould.
But there's more, as they say in the classics, because there's actually good evidence that children in same-sex families do better than their peers in traditional households. And that's on a range of measures, psychological, academic, health. I mean, think about it. Where the risk of unplanned pregnancy is basically nil, there's no such thing as an unwanted child. Same-sex parents are highly conscious about the decision-making process to reproduce, and that carries over into their parenting. I felt awkward asking whether the children suffered at all, to use a verb favored by conservative critics of family diversity. But I had to ask because studies have certainly found that there can be negative effects for kids as they approach the teen years, not stemming from their family situations per se, but the social stigma that others can attach to it.
Probably in the last couple of years, the older kids, boys especially, have been saying that maybe some kids are saying, you know, your mum's gay, and they'll come up and say it, and I'll go, yes, that's fine, that's true, don't worry about that.
we have spoken at home about, you know, what different types of families there are, not just us, but all the different families that are out there that are, you know, slightly different or... and that it's just about being nice people and respecting each other and, you know, I wouldn't want them to treat anyone differently because they were from a different family. I don't think there's anything that a dad could do that we don't do together. You know, any different parent would bring something different to this family, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Max loves to do... You know, he likes to go to the skate park and we go on bike rides and at the beach, boogie boarding, surfboards. You know, my backpack is full of tools for fixing wheels that have fallen off.
They haven't asked for anything that they're not already getting. Well, except for, you know, my own personal mini iPad or something, which they're not getting. you know, they see my dad, they see my stepfather, they see Jackie's dad, her brother, my sister's boyfriend.
When we go to my sister's place, you know, the big boys throw them around in the pool and do that sort of tease. Well, they're not used to teasing. Maybe teasing is a guy thing. Mm-hmm. Teasing each other, like really ribbing each other. They don't get it. Our kids don't get it.
And what about marriage? Is that a step they would take if the option were available?
Yes.
The kids have asked us.
Bored of
us.
It now. Just yeah, wish it would just happen.
It is boring, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, look, I say we've got an idiot in power, but, you know, the other idiots who I expected to do something didn't. So it's a matter of time. I think it will happen in my lifetime, but I don't know.
It's the inequality that's the problem. It's the how come that couple can get married and that couple can't. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, on paper, they would be virtually the same, apart from...
Ticking a gender box.
Yeah, the gender box. Hang on, they've both ticked the same gender box. Ba-boom. I'd get married.
And when you've only got that one gender box between two partners, there are other issues up for grabs. Surnames, for example.
The kids are double-barreled. They're all the same double-barrel.
Did you go alphabetical in terms of the ordering?
Oh, I think Jackie decided. No, we put it to the family
and
they all...
We flipped a coin!
Oh, did we?
We flipped a coin.
And I lost. If we got married, I would go double barrel. I don't think Jackie would. Because he is such a... I don't know what.
I don't know. But
you don't love me enough?
Yes, it's not about the love, Jodie. It's not about the love.
She's a feminist.
Yes. Troubled with changing your name, taking on that patriarchal system of name changing, ownership, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Jermaine Greer, etc.
She gets cross because I'm miss on everything. She thinks, and now I just do it to annoy her. But I'd be very happy to become Mrs. Beasley Cartwright.
And after all this, I still find it so interesting that Jodie and Jackie don't find their family so interesting.
I think we're quite boring. You know, not boring. We're a good family, but when someone else says, you know, oh, that's you're interesting, I forget in everyday life. It's all about breakfast, lunch and dinner, and have you got clean socks and undies on? And...
Boring you, Evie.
That's it for Radio Housewives here on RN. Thanks for listening. And thanks to technical producer David LeMay, to executive producers Amanda Armstrong and Mark Wakely, and to all the households who shared their stories with me, Susan Mousehart, for you here on RN.
One time the wind, the other one say, my mom, my mama cooks on in bed.